Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And Erev Tov, and Shalom to all, as we finish our study in the typological book of Ruth. And we pray you are all doing well with great expectations of his soon return for his bride. Is that you? We pray so. If not, you can right now accept his proposal and become his betrothed while yet time. Let's pray.
Yahweh, our God, we pray in these last hours for those who have not yet made you Lord. May the veil be lifted so to expand your kingdom, especially to our lost loved ones. We agape you with all our heart, soul, and strength. We acknowledge that in and of ourselves, we are nothing without you, and will serve you all the days of our life. For where else would we go? There is no other. You alone are the supreme God and only master of the universe. May we be deserving of your mercy and grace. We pray for those affected by those horrendous floods in Texas. May they seek your face to find comfort. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Your comments on last night's dinner meeting.
Yes, President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu certainly showcased a striking degree of congeniality, clarity, and shared vision, reinforcing the strength of the United States and Israel's partnership. But as expected, that there was no real dramatic achievements announced anyway, except the fact neither is open to a two-state solution, rather a relocation. However, it is suspected Trump is pushing Bibi to stop the fighting with a ceasefire before its goals are really finished, which would mean Hamas remains.
However, you have heard some rumors.
Yes, that Yasser Abu Shabab, the local warlord with a loyal army, has taken control of the Rafah area in southern Gaza, along with Israel's assistance.
So they are working together.
Yeah, it appears that way, which is a good strategy, because if Bibi is pressured into a ceasefire, Abu Shabab has said to get ready for some surprises, in that his own militia is preparing for an inevitable civil war with Hamas when Israel forces are compelled to withdraw as part of any ceasefire.
Well, you know, Bibi will listen to Trump.
Right. At this stage, what Trump says goes. So Israel can use Shabab without being accused of breaking any ceasefire.
Which is also happening in Iran.
Oh, it is. Through Israel's covert Mossad and anti-IRGC fighters. Because as we know, Iran's people do want a regime change. And Iran right now is experiencing many big explosions.
So, probably why they want to make a deal.
Supposedly this week is well with Hamas and Qatar.
We should have a lot of news next week.
Yep. Also, as we pointed out last week, there will be sovereignty discussions over parts of Judea and Samaria, which include Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, to accommodate Saudi Arabia, who is still demanding a Palestinian self-governed sovereign area, just dropping the word state from the conversations.
Or he will not join the Abraham Accords.
Yep, the carrot and stick situation.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, God won back Jerusalem for the Jews in 1967, and to give any sovereignty away is a slap in God's face. God doesn't mind when the enemy uses his land, as they have been doing, but Israel is not to give any ownership away, which is what they likely will do to fulfill Scripture, as in Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36.
Which will bring on the tribulation.
Yes. And we leave just before that.
Well, you know, for us, it's actually a good thing.
Everything is.
The anti-American group named BRICS met over the weekend.
Right. They had their annual meeting where they will only say they discussed recent regional developments. BRICS original countries included Brazil, Russia, India, South Africa, and China, who did not attend this year, by the way. We're not sure why. But BRICS has now expanded to include Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, United Arab Emirates, and Indonesia. Not very friendly with the United States. And never forget what will be decided in the coming days. And things are moving fast. Everything was first decided in heaven.
You know, it really seems like it's all coming together.
That it does, my love. And we'll have a lot more to say next week as the fall feasts are soon upon us, with Teshuvah beginning in just a few weeks.
All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Okay, a little review.
Of course. Ruth is a story read during the season of Pentecost, which was last month, to signify that both Jews and Gentiles can unite under God's covenant, which is why they have two loaves of bread baked, now with leaven, to represent a fulfillment of his Passover, where sin is no longer a burden. Around 1200 BC, the widowed Gentile Ruth, a Moabitess, joins in with her mother-in-law Naomi's Jewish family from Bethlehem to serve and love the God of Israel.
A long, arduous journey from Moab.
Yes, another picture of our journey of life being at times also arduous.
Also, the story of Ruth is a picture of how we are to feel about Israel, too.
Amen. When they both arrive in Bethlehem, Ruth meets the Jewish man Boaz while gleaning in his field and eventually marries Boaz, who is a redeemer to Naomi's land. Yet again, another typology of our marriage to the Jewish Yeshua, our kinsman redeemer, who redeemed the land by his sacrifice and will physically take over the whole earth when, as we read in Revelation 5, is given the scroll.
The title deed to the earth.
They also share a meal, being a type of the Last Supper.
And our communion.
Yes. Naomi instructs Ruth to lay at Boaz's feet on the threshing floor where he had been keeping watch over his newly harvested grain.
Which startled the sleeping Boaz.
Mm-hmm. Ruth quickly explained he was her Goel, her redeemer through Naomi, and that she was also able to marry. Ruth laid under the hem of his garment, symbolizing Boaz's authority, like the hem of Yeshua's garment with healing powers.
Malachi 4:2 and Matthew 14.
Ruth was making a claim to put her to wife because he was obligated under the law of the levirate marriage. And here's what really needs to for you to take away from this story. Yes, Boaz was immediately drawn to Ruth from when she had gleaned in his field. But also under their law, she would have to make the first move. And therefore she did. Do you see the picture?
Jesus loved us first, but we personally must open the door and invite him in.
Exactly. So Boaz agrees, but also explains there was a closer relative that had to be told first. Then Boaz puts himself under the oath, saying, "As Yahweh lives."
Ruth stayed the night, and both remained righteous.
The next morning, Boaz gave her 6 ephahs of barley to take home to Naomi, while Boaz met the other Goel at the city gate and explained Naomi's situation. And we left off last week in chapter 4, verse 6, where the other close relative said,
I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it.
In other words, he would have to invest his own money to redeem the land, and having to marry Ruth and produce a son through her meant that son would legally be the son of Mahlon, her dead husband, therefore the one to inherit the property. The kinsman would thus end up losing both the property and the investment. Moreover, not only would Ruth's son inherit the property of the kinsman who redeemed, he would also inherit part of the kinsman's own personal property. And since he would lose his investment, the redeemed property, and part of his own land, the kinsman would be depriving his own heirs. So he respectfully declined,
making Boaz a very happy man.
Yes. Also, again, typologically, that other nearer kinsman represents the Mosaic law, which is why he was nameless, because the law could never redeem, which is confirmed in Romans 3.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
In other words, the law was never given to be a redeemer. The law was given to reveal man's true condition. Paul calls it a ministration of condemnation.
2 Corinthians 3:7.
And a ministration of death.
The law was never a savior.
Actually, the law condemned rather than saved. The Old Testament was to help us recognize our need for a savior and them. That's why the law was so detailed and in our minds is often harsh. So, chapter 4, verse 7 says,
Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, Buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal.
And it doesn't say anywhere that they got their shoe back. So, taking off the shoe and handing it to another was a symbol of the transfer of a possession or the right of ownership, as Joshua was told to do in chapter 1, verse 3, and also at Joshua's confrontation.
On holy ground, too, Joshua 5:15.
Also, think of the durability of the Hebrew shoes during 40 years of wilderness wanderings.
Deuteronomy 29:5.
And John the Baptist said Yeshua's shoe latches, well, he was unworthy to unloose them.
Matthew 3:11.
Okay, let's continue in verse 9.
And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Amalek's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi.
So the nearer kinsman yields his shoe to deter the obligation. Boaz steps up, he purchases the land for Naomi, and he purchases Ruth as his bride. Boaz continues to say in verse 10,
Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gates. You are witnesses this day.
And of course we see that Jesus Christ purchased his church, and that's confirmed in Acts 20, verse 28, if you want to check that out. All right, let's continue chapter 4, verse 11.
And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem.
So Bethlehem means house of bread, and Yeshua is our bread of life, Micah 5:2. Remember from the Gospels, the shepherds in the field in Bethlehem? Well, that was likely Boaz's field, and why Jesus was born there.
David was born there too.
And Ruth was his great-grandma. And if you remember, honey, we went to the shepherd's field, and there was definitely still sheep there.
Yeah, and they came up to the fence to say hi to us.
He did. So this is a true story, and Boaz plays the role of the Goel, a Gentile's kinsman redeemer, a type of Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer of the Gentiles as well. Now, it was unusual that Boaz would take to wife a Moabitess, as that was prohibited in the Torah. But as you know, exceptions were made, probably more for typology. And by the way, who was Boaz's mother?
Rahab, the Amorite from Jericho.
Yes. So, Boaz redeems the land to Naomi, which Christ officially will do at his second coming. You can say Boaz is a type of Christ in anticipation.
Hosea 12, verse 10.
And Ruth is a type of the church, and Naomi is a type of Israel. And the Goel, of course, is a type of Christ in that he had to be a kinsman.
Hebrew 2, 16.
Be willing.
Romans 3, 24.
He had to be able.
Hebrews 12, 2. And Hebrews 7:25.
He had to assume all obligations.
Philippians 2:9.
And as we said, Christ, like Boaz, is not free to move in your behalf until you claim him as your kinsman redeemer. And we hope you have made these observations.
What the law could not do, grace did.
Exactly. So Ruth does not replace Naomi. She actually joins her. Ruth learns of Boaz's ways through Naomi. We learn about the Jewish Jesus through the Jews.
Which is why we study our roots.
Mm-hmm. Now think about this. Naomi actually meets Boaz through Ruth. Oh, she knew about him, but never met him personally.
Yeah, the Jews learn about Yeshua through us, too.
Even though they probably heard about him, but don't know him personally. Good picture. Mm-hmm. We must say this again. No matter how much Boaz loved Ruth, he had to await her move. Also, Boaz, not Ruth, confronts the nearer kinsman. Oh, she could have gone to the nearer kinsman herself. But Boaz accomplished it for her. Sometimes we have to be patient and allow God. Let's continue in verse 12.
May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman.
Perez was born as the result of a levirate marriage.
Genesis 38:6.
Where a widow marries the husband's brother, and by the way, this is practiced by many societies, and it was in order to protect their lineage. Perez was the son of Judah, from whom Boaz descended, that had settled in Bethlehem. In Genesis 38, we read about Tamar and Judah, and by the way, it's not one to read to younger children. It's kind of wild. But we do encourage you to read or reread that story this week. All right, let's continue in verse 13.
So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel."
And Ruth also said in verse 15,
"And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, whom loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid on her bosom and became a nurse to him.
Okay, so actually that should say nanny or granny to us. She was not a wet nurse.
Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son,"
meaning a grandson,
"born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David."
Okay, it's time to look at some genealogy. Let's continue in verse 18.
"Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab."
The Hezron family, also called the clan, either immigrated to or was born in Egypt.
Genesis 46, Numbers 26.
Now Ram is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 2, verse 9, and Amminadab was the father-in-law of Aaron, who married his daughter Elisheba, Exodus 6, verse 23. Let's continue in verse 20.
"Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David."
Nashon, he was the prince of the tribe of Judah at the time of Moses, Exodus 6:23. Salmon, was 1 Chronicles 2, is the one who married Rahab, mentioned in Matthew 1, verse 5. And thus he participated in the conquest of the land and settled in Bethlehem. So we pray that you have enjoyed this study of amazing typology. There's really almost every verse some kind of typological gleaning that you can get from it. And by the way, you can re-listen to this program anytime on shofarministries.net. But let me ask you, is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says that you can escape the horrors of the soon coming judgment with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit, to your inner being. Then let him have dominion over you instead of the god of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. Because there is no in between. It's either light or it's darkness. And those of you Christians who maybe are lukewarm, one foot in the world, it's time to get your act together. Right now. Time is running out. It's important that you spend lots of time in God's Word. Many people believe in tithing. So tithe your time in reading His Scriptures. Because you're going to need it for discernment. There's a lot of false things going on out in the world. But if you spend your time in the Word, discernment will naturally come. And that's His promise from Hebrews. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That lasting shalom, that inner peace of no matter what goes on around you, you've got Him. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in a lot of ways you won't even know about. And that's, of course, Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for our president, of course, and all our righteous leaders for God's wisdom. And by the way, you be that beacon of light in a world getting darker. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.